Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Millie McCarthy, she's a 10-year-old girl from Cork, and just about everything she touches turns to catastrophe. She goes to a Gaelscoil, she has a busy life between school and camogie training and Irish dancing competitions. And if you're a primary school student or the parent of one, you're probably familiar with Millie at this stage, because she's a character dreamed up by Cork author and teacher Leona Ford, who's here. Leona, lovely to have you with us.
Thanks so much for having me, Claire.
And we should also mention the drawings in the book, so central to Millie's success. They're the work of comic creator and illustrator Karen Hart, who I know you work closely with. Yeah. This is the fifth book in the Millie McCarthy series. It's called Wild Atlantic Antics, and it's out now.
Yeah.
Congratulations to you.
Thank you so much.
But you were saying some parents and children aren't happy. You're not going fast enough.
I was in Mahon Point at the launch last weekend, and I had a mammy come up to me and she said, "We have a complaint." And I went, "Oh, I'm so sorry. What's that?" She said, "You're not writing them fast enough."
Yeah,
so,
well, that's a good complaint.
It is a good complaint. I said, "There's already steam coming off the pen, but I might have to speed up even more."
But this is the problem with your children when they get captivated by a character or a series. We were just chatting there as you were coming in. They will only read Kid or Millie McCarthy books, and they won't move on.
And that's fine. And parents kind of worry sometimes. They're like, "Oh, I can't get them to read other books." But it doesn't matter. Whatever a child is reading, whether they be graphic novels or chapter books or their same picture book over and over again, it does not matter once they're reading.
Mm-hmm. We're reading this in my house at the moment at bedtime. So Millie's school get bounced into a trip to the Gaeltacht, a quick trip to Kerry.
They do, because of a lie told by the principal. And the inspector comes in and she wants to know what's happening with extracurricular activities. So Mr. Manley, under a panic, says, "Oh, we're going to the Gaeltacht." And Millie is delighted because she's never been on a sleepover before. And this is a chance to go to the Gaeltacht with all of her friends and stay overnight.
Yes. And I've noticed as well, there's a lot more Irish peppered through the book this year. This time, is that, were you asked to do that?
There was a teacher came up and she says, "I love getting the sneaky little bits of Irish in." And my own kids go to a Gaelscoil as well. And, you know, sometimes getting them to read in Irish can be a bit difficult. So it's like, you know, sneaking the veg into the pasta sauce.
Yes.
Sneaking the bit of Irish. And she said, "I'd like a bit more Irish." And I thought, well, how will I do that? I'll send Millie down to Kerry, down to the Gaeltacht. And it was around the year that my boy was going on his first overnight trip to the Gaeltacht as well. So I got lovely little insights into what actually happens.
Yeah. And, you know, I love the bit that we were reading last night was when they're on the train and Millie goes to the loo. She's never been to the bathroom on a train before, and she doesn't know what the red cord is for.
And so, of course, she pulls it.
And so many people don't know. And she decides to pull it. There's a bit of a catastrophe around that as well. I was wondering, though, when I was reading the Irish, and I think it's lovely to come across it. Do you have an eye to an international audience? And do you ever think, well, that might, you know, prevent people in the UK from enjoying the book? Does that cross your mind at all?
It doesn't. Well, it does in one sense. I've been asked about it a couple of times. And I say the way I write it is that even if you don't have Irish, you can understand it. Because I will say things like, "And then Muintir Emer told us all Sigi Shias. So we all sat down."
Yes.
And so it'll come across in the meaning of it, or else Karen's illustrations are brilliant. And so she'll often do a little illustration of a school book and then the word Mála Scoile comes out of it so that the child or the parent who's reading it can understand it. And then I think what has become really popular, I've got loads of people saying, "I'm sending these books to my family in Australia, I'm sending them to America, I'm sending them to Britain." So if you have the Irish heritage, it's a lovely way of keeping it alive. And I think Irish has become so much more popular. You see now all of these influencers, all of these TikTok stars, and they're doing Fros na Lé, and the kids are picking it up. And even, I know this, my own kids will say things in Irish without even thinking of it. They'll say slán going out the door, or they'll say, you know, "Where my broga," without even thinking. So
yeah,
it's becoming more popular.
You sneak the Irish in a very, you know, in a way that you barely even notice it. You know, it works in a lovely way, and it encourages all of us, I think, to use it a bit more frequently as well. And I also love how the new character in here is the SNA, Mrs. S, and she's lovely.
She is. And I was thinking about that. Up and down our country, in every school, we have classroom assistants and SNAs, and they are the lifeblood of the education system. Like, I couldn't teach my classes without having my SNAs in there. They're so kind and so supportive, and they make everything so inclusive. And I thought, how do I not have an SNA in my book? So my new character is Mrs. S. And she's named after an SNA that I worked with for many years, who I got on great with. And I just thought, this is a character that needs to be in the book, because I like the books being inclusive, and I like them reflecting true life. And true life is having classroom assistants in our rooms.
And our example from last night, everyone was cross with poor Millie for pulling the red cord on the train, but Mrs. S said it could happen to anybody.
Exactly.
And she was right. It could happen to anybody.
And it has happened in our family. Now, I won't say
who. Oh, really?
Yeah, and I pull things from my family life all the time. So when this book came out, I had to tell my husband, who purchased a pair of Crocs in the brightest yellow possible, that I had put them in. So in the book it says, and if I told the truth about Daddy's hideous coloured Crocs, he would have gotten very cross. So I had to admit that I used him in the book as well.
Yeah, Crocs are very popular in our house as well, but maybe the bright yellow, I see where the line is there with you, right? Now, the last time you were in, you were telling us about how you write, because you are still teaching.
Yeah.
And I don't know where you get the time, and you're busy with your family, of course, as well. Is that becoming more of a struggle as the success grows?
No, because I still kind of find that hidden time. I like to write at night time when the kids are in bed. And then yesterday I was on the train for 2.5 hours. So the headphones went on and the paper and pen came out, and I just wrote for those 2.5 hours straight. And I think it's because it's something I enjoy. It doesn't feel like work.
Mm-hmm. But you're still teaching. Is
I'm
it
still
four,
teaching, yeah.
4 days a week?
4 days a week in Kinsale at the moment. Yeah. And I've Mondays off. So I write all day Monday.
So you sit down on a Monday. That's your day for writing.
That's my day for writing. Yeah. Or else I will do some classroom visits or some library visits as well on a Monday. And that's almost like writing as well, because I'm surrounded by kids who are coming up to me going, Leona, I have an idea for a book. I think you need to do this. And can you bring Millie camping, and can you send her here, there and everywhere? And I come out with a raft of ideas for more books.
Yeah, well, it's great to get that from the horse's mouth, you know, if you like, from, you know, the
exactly,
people who
yeah.
are reading and loving the books, that they're telling you what Millie should do next. So I take it that the next one is in the bag, is it, in the can?
It is. We have one coming out in October, and that will be the Haunted House one.
The Haunted House.
Haunted House hullabaloo.
Yeah, she's going to get into a lot of trouble when she goes to a haunted house. Now, tell me about the hairy toes.
So the hairy toes belong to me. And I can't believe I'm saying this on national radio, but I was shaving my legs one day and one of the kids was watching me and I shaved my toe. And she said, Mom, do you have hairy toes? And I said, yeah. And she was like, oh, I wouldn't wear sandals if I was you. So, of course, in the book, Millie gets given out to when she tells the lady in Sally's shoe shop that the real reason her mom doesn't wear sandals is because of her extremely hairy toes.
I love it. See, this is why they're so successful, because you're taking those.
Nothing is sacred.
Yeah. And the real life experiences as well. Do children love that when you're true to real life? Karen Hart, I mentioned, really brings this book to life with you. And it's extraordinary how it just jumps off the page, those
Absolutely.
Illustrations.
I love her illustrations. They just add an entire new layer of fun to the book. Like, there's a fantastic illustration in this book, and the kids go to this local little shop in Kerry, and it is the greengrocer and the post office and the gift shop, and they sell everything from shoes to sushi, and she just captures that so brilliantly. And then there's another little illustration as well that I love in the book, and it's Millie's decided she needs to do a project, it won't ruin too much, on insects. So Karen has drawn this stack of books, and even the names of them, Mathematics and The Secret Life of Flies, you know, for that added layer of little extra meaning and extra fun. It's brilliant.
And we were talking about graphic novels in general on the programme a couple of weeks ago, and how the process works. Just remind us how you work with Karen.
Yeah, so I will write the story and then it gets sent to my editor, Venetia, and she will suggest little images or vignettes, and I might as well. And then Karen as well will come up with her own ideas, and then she will do rough drawings and they're sent back. We'll have a look at them, and then we'll tease out which ones we're going to put in the book, and then she'll go and she'll do the drawings to the final finish.
Yeah, and I was asking some of the authors we had in that day whether you might get a drawing back and it doesn't fit with what you had envisaged. Let's say your SNA, Mrs. S, you get a drawing back and Mrs. S doesn't look like the Mrs. S that you had created in your mind. Can you get over that, or how does that
work? So, like, when we did a character, Belinda Starstruck, the way Karen drew it was exactly how I had pictured her, to a T, and all she had was my words. And then Mr. Wright in the second book, Karen drew him slightly older than I had envisaged him. And I went back and I said, oh, I really like it, but I actually thought he would be much younger. And so Karen tweaked it. So we'll work together and we'll tease it out.
Yes, and there's no issue with that. You work it out between you. Can you remember what your own favourite books were growing up? Did you have
particular ones? Loved Marita Conlon McKenna's trilogy, Under the Hawthorn Tree, was a huge one I loved. I loved Tam McCochrane's Run Swift Run Free.
Oh, yes, I won that book in a competition.
Did you?
Yes, I wrote a poem for, remember Evening Extra on the television? Yeah. And I sent in my poem. I never won anything in my life, but I got that book, so I treasure it. And it was signed by Tom as well.
I still have all my copies at home as well. But I would read anything, and I then got into the Babysitter's Club and Sweet Valley High, and I remember stealing my mom's Woman Way and her Bella and her Take a Break, anything that was printed I was reading.
And sneaking into the adults bit of the library, I'm sure, before you were supposed to be there.
I do remember trying to read The Great Gatsby when I was only in first or second year and couldn't read it at all. It was way too difficult for me, and I thought, this is the worst book ever. And then I came back to it when I was in fourth or fifth and absolutely love it, and I've ended up teaching it now 10 or 12 times, and I adore that book.
Yeah, your link started early with that book. So plans then for the future, obviously Millie is taking up a lot of your time, but have you any plans for adult fiction or other children's books?
Yeah, I have a couple of picture books I'm working on as well, and I'm writing a book for teenagers at the moment.
A whole other challenge there.
A whole other challenge, but I kind of feel that I like to do things differently anyway, and I like to have maybe two or three projects on the go. So if I have, we say, a little bit of time where I feel that Millie's at a stage that I'm happy with, I will sneak away and write a little bit. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's just a scene, or it's just kind of a plot plan, but I like having a couple of balls in the air.
Yeah, well, you're a successful juggler, no doubt about that. Leona, thanks so much.
Thanks so much, Claire.
Continued success to you and to Millie McCarthy, the new book. This is the fifth in the series, and some of the others out there, if you haven't seen them, well worth grabbing them as well. It's called Wild Atlantic Antics. Millie McCarthy's Wild Atlantic Antics by Leona Ford, and it's out now, illustrated of course by Karen Hart, as we mentioned. Thank you so much for coming in. Now, up next, we're going to hear about the first year in office for the new Limerick Mayor.
Get in touch on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32.